Welcome back to the Av Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio, where we're wrapping up the year and the last half of this episode with part two of the MVPs of 2018. If you haven't listened to part one yet, you can check that out after you listen to this one. You know, why leave now? You're already here. Stay. Stick around. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. All right, let's not waste any more time. Let's get back into this right now. It's the Av Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio. Let's go. All right, next up, we got Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid. Colin Kaepernick continues to be this generation's icon for social activism. So much so that Nike decided to continue to be in the business of all things Kaepernick. Which I also did an episode on during the summer, the summer podcast series called The Stoop. So go check that out so that I totally won't, you know, rehash all my viewpoints here.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of that, I wish I could virtual reality into that podcast to argue with Kevin. But anyway, continue.
And also Eric Reid for standing alongside Kaepernick throughout this entire process. And because of that, he's had his burgeoning career sacrificed as well. He finally got signed by the Carolina Panthers after not being signed by any team during the offseason, considering that he's only 26 years old. He just came off the Pro Bowl and is one of the better players in his position. He's played pretty well so far, but he's had some interesting times this season. So from going after Malcolm Jenkins of the Eagles for essentially selling out Kaepernick and the movement and having sent seven random drug tests in less than 3 months, even though he's never had a drug problem. Do both of these guys, Sean, belong as MVPs of 2018?
I definitely think they both do. I mean, Eric Reid, you know, being the first to kneel with Kaepernick, being the first to take that step that many others, you know, took afterward. There's always a higher risk of being one of the first, right? Once you see that there's some solidarity, there's a lot less pressure, mm-hmm. you know, or you feel like there's a lot less consequences to being the person to join that movement. But, you know, he joined that movement. He, you know, faced the repercussions of it. He filed a collusion case against the NFL and still didn't drop the shit after they took him on a team. So you got to give him that, you know. Yeah. Like he's very clearly principled, you know what I mean? Because, you know, who knows to what degree that the kneeling is still taking place, because, you know, they don't air that
right
very, you know, strategically. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was very clear. Even what he did, like you said, who was the dude he ran up on again?
Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah. Even when he ran up on him, that was a potential career-ending move that there too.
Yeah,
and he was so principled and so disgusted, and I think what Malcolm Jenkins did was disgusting also, but he was so disgusted by it, he didn't want to let that opportunity go without telling him how he felt about mm-hmm. it, and you got to give him credit there. You got to give him credit how he remains outspoken now. Everything he does, even, you know, shining a light on the not so random drug tests, which, like I was telling you yesterday, it's a real joke that you are supposed to be an impartial league. You're not, which is why you're facing charges of collusion, and you react to that by very clearly not so randomly drug testing the guy that's accusing you of not being impartial.
Right.
it's quite a funny situation. But, yeah, definitely, you know, the fact that he stood his ground when it got hot and still continues to you know, ride for that cause, I would definitely give him MVP. Kaepernick, he definitely deserves MVP, you know, sticking to his guns. He could have, I think, like you and I have discussed before, you know, he could have really put his tail between his legs and, you know, kind of said, well, you know, downplayed his stance before just to kind of get back in the league, because the temptation's there for that, right? Like, when you have teams that are kind of thinking of courting you and thinking of talking to you and wanting to see where your head is at, and I'm not Jim Brown. Frank, I can't remember his name, but one of the elder statesmen in the NFL were saying that he just wanted to talk to Kaepernick and see where his head was at, and Cap brushed him off. Cap's girl kind of said something, and Cap didn't really, you know, sit there and try to clean up what she said. He really just said, listen, this is what it is, this is how I feel, and Nike came out and gave him that deal, and that kind of that put him on another level as far as, you know, his stage, as far as getting that legitimacy from Nike. And contrary to what some people might say, some people that I disagree with, you know who I'm talking about, who might say that you know, is a marketing ploy, and him using that and him somehow using this platform by Nike in a way that all of a sudden now he's supposed to be Martin Luther King Jr. and fight for every black cause in America. Not the case. He wasn't like that before, and he shouldn't be like that now, but he stood his ground for what he believes in. And, you know, he got rewarded for that, and his strength of character led to Nike standing behind him and legitimizing his cause. And I think that it is great, man. I think it's truly great.
Yeah, honestly, and just to, like I said, not to, like, you know, piggyback on my own viewpoints from, you know, for that podcast that we did from the talking about Colin Kaepernick and the Nike situation back in, I believe it was in September, I believe we did that. So it was part of the mini podcast summer series.
Yeah.
The Stoop that we did earlier this year earlier this past fall. So that was probably one of my favorite episodes that I did all year. It was very animated. So like I said again,
it was a good show.
Yeah. So for those ones who haven't listened to it yet, go, like, after this one, of course, go back and listen to that one. That one was it was really good, man.
It was a good listener.
But one of the things I'll say is that, like, you know, Nike, Kaepernick signing with Nike is huge, and that's what gets all the media attention. But I think, honestly, Sean, it's underscored that the work that he's doing with the Know Your Rights campaign is incredible.
That is true, too.
Like, honestly speaking, like, just educating the youth on what their rights are as citizens is so friggin' major, because most adults don't know what their rights are when they're dealing with police.
That is true.
It really gets underscored of how major that movement is. Like, education on anything eliminates fear. You know what I mean? So not to compare him to other athletes, but that's, I think, is one of the biggest things I've ever seen an athlete do. To affect the community to that degree is, to me, standing ovation worthy. And, like it's really underscored. I know he doesn't go around publicizing it. That's one of the biggest things that you can help, you know, especially, like, the disenfranchised and color people, like, in, you know, like, that's being harassed by police. The fact that you can educate them to that degree from a young age to know what their rights are, Sean, like, that changes so much people's viewpoints, man.
That is life-changing.
It's life-changing. I don't think that gets talked about enough. I think that's, I don't care. Like, the Nike deal and all that stuff is great. It gives him a platform to continue doing what he's doing. And, like, then that's what I was saying before. Like, my whole thing was, like, we've never seen this happen before in terms of, like, somebody being a social activist get financially backed by a major corporation. You know what I mean? Like, to at least publicly to this degree. So we got to kind of see how it plays out. But the work that he's continuing to do, I mean, like, what can you say, man? Like, it's... Sean, most people aren't doing that, man. You know what I mean? Like,
you're right, man.
Most people aren't doing that. And for me, like, I love Reed for all the things that I mentioned before, but just to continually ride for Cap, even at the threat of his own career, I think is powerful, because most people cannot and won't do that.
Yeah, that is true.
You know what I mean? Like I'm hoping his play stays at a certain level, because obviously we're seeing the league is looking for anything. Everything that they can do to basically get this guy out of the league.
Yeah, like, that is true.
Like, what I find amazing, Sean, is, like, it's amazing to me that the NFL, like, they're not even trying to hide their intentions anymore.
It's crazy, man.
I find it's borderline crazy. It's borderline cocky. Like, I find it amazing. They're not, you know, back in the day, they would kind of hide it and, you know, like, a certain way. But now they're just like, yeah, it's like, it's, you know what it's like? It's like that episode of Seinfeld where the guy just pulled out his penis. It's just like, yeah, here it is. Look at it. What?
True.
Like, that's
7 drug tests. in like how many weeks? Crazy, bro.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. They're not trying to sugarcoat it. They're not trying to like skillfully finesse the situation. They're just like, yeah, we're doing it. Yeah, it's random. Yeah. Right. Like they're waiting for this guy. Oh my god. Like the date is, this guy can't even take like Advil or Tylenol at this point.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. It's crazy, but you got to respect. He's not backing down. Like I said, he hasn't even withdrawn his collusion case from what I understand. So. No. He's not backing down.
No. So I hope he gets picked up by somebody else, cuz he's young. Like that's the thing too. Like it's hard to say that he, like a player like Eric Reed, we all know Kaepernick should be in the league, you know what I mean, based on his talents and the things that he's done. And mm-hmm. and looking at guys like Nathan Peterman, you know, being picked up again by another franchise after what the hell he did in Buffalo. Somebody like Eric Reed, like to deny him to that degree, considering the fact that he's a Pro Bowler, and at the time that he got signed, he was like, he's 26. He's like, he's barely in his prime. So you know, that's like true. You know, the collusion against him is real.
Yeah.
You know, like the NFL, like I said, they're borderline cocky, because really and truly, Sean, like for the day that Kaepernick was doing this, if the NFL was smart, some team should have made some team pick him up.
Yep. Pretty much
all this would have gone away. Like the fact that I think that it speaks to their cockiness. The fact that they're just like, okay, we'll just ban you from the league, and like it's been a shitstorm ever since with them.
Yep.
You know, but somehow they're still making money. But like again, it's you can't duck that Kaepernick cloud. It's still, it may not be hovering over the league like it was like maybe last year, but it's still around.
Yeah, and especially when Nike came out and offered their support, all of a sudden the NFL felt like that they had to, you know, come out with their statement as well. I don't remember what their statement was, but the NFL came out and said that they also backed people's freedom to whatever. I don't remember what it was.
Which is all BS, of course.
Yeah, because they had nothing to say before, because they figured, it's just one dude. We cut off his lifeline. Now he's silenced. And all of a sudden, once he had a legitimate powerhouse corporation behind him and to co-sign him and to give him legitimacy, then the NFL said, "Oh shit! Now we got to say something, because we can't brush off to America that this guy's full of nonsense, because we have one of the biggest corporations in the country or in the world even come out and back him."
And not just that, Sean, a league partner. Nike is making. That's why I'm like, Nike's move was so bold, because they're making. They just signed a deal with the NFL to make the uniforms. And then they turn around and back Kaepernick. Like,
exactly.
It was almost like a setup. They're like, God damn, we should have went with Under Armour.
Exactly. Kevin, I'm coming for you, bro. I heard what you said in that podcast, man. Coming for you, man.
Next up, we got Yara Shahidi. She plays the eldest daughter of Dre and Rainbow Johnson on the hit TV show Black-ish. Because of the success of that show, she starred on her own spinoff show called Grownish, which starts its second season on Freeform. If you haven't checked it out yet, how they're promoting it this season, let's just say it's an ode to a different world in terms of their promos. You can check it out on YouTube. She started the 18x18 initiative, which is aimed at registering young voters and informing other teens ahead of the midterms. And it had its first national summit this past fall. Is she an MVP?
I guess. It sounds like it, according to you. I got to say, I didn't know nothing about none of that 18 for 18 business you just said, or whatever it's called. I never watched her Grown-ish show. I like Black-ish. She wasn't my favorite person on Black-ish. So, I don't know. I guess. I don't know what to tell you. She's clearly impressive. Yeah, from what I understand, she goes to some Ivy League school. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a second, but yeah.
But so she's an impressive person. So is she an MVP? I don't know if I would say that personally, but
I believe she is, just because being like, you know, 18 years old, whatever, she's been influential, like, you know, like starting with her political views and how she's opened up her platform to help raise awareness and, you know, educate her peers on the importance of voting. This is another example of the ripple effects of the times that we're in, where smart, talented intellectuals are starting to use their reach and talent to benefit others, especially in the social climate. So I give her a check mark for that. You realize that this young woman has her own TV show that's been greenlit for, you know, a second season, and may even be a third. She still plays her role on Blackish as the eldest daughter going away to school. She's winning awards. She's on the cover of magazines. She's a Chanel ambassador, and she's doing all this while undergoing her freshman year at Harvard. So to me, I'm like, I think she is. I know you might think differently, but like, I think you know, I gotta give her a tip of the cap for the work.
No, that she's doing. Don't get me wrong. It's super commendable. I mean, I ain't doing. It's not like I'm like. She pales in comparison to me. You know what I mean? she's doing great, great, great things. And when you put it in that context, yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. Yeah, definitely.
And she's Nas's cousin. Next up.
She's Nas's cousin?
She is, yeah.
Wow. She needs to give him some energy. She's pretty energetic. I guess she got the personality genes in that family.
What is wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you? He's a legend. You blasphemous talk, Sean. Stop this. Next up, we got Michelle Obama. It's early, but let's face it. Her new memoir is Becoming. She seemingly lapped Melania Trump in the usefulness category. She's already sold 3 million books since the book was released last month. It's reminding us yet again about the cachet that this family has. And now she's going to be touring, you know, for her book in a city near you. You know, even though she came out towards the end of the year, is she an MVP for 2018, or should she be looked at for 2019 instead?
I think she's definitely, even though it's more so on the end of the year, she's definitely a MVP for 2018. And I think will continue to be one for 2019. Shows that, you know, so oftentimes, you know, the first lady is a very compelling figure, you know, going back, you know, to Nancy Reagan, you know, the Nancy Reagan days,
right.
You know, Hillary Clinton, you know, oftentimes these powerful men have aligned themselves with equally impressive women. Yeah. And it shows that, you know, with Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, it's no different. Like, she's, you know, from all of her active campaigns of, I don't even remember, was it having to do with nutrition, I think
yeah,
it was?
Yeah, I think it was, I forgot what it was called now.
Yeah,
it was on, like, the tip of my tongue. It was something move. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the name now.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to Google it while I'm talking to you. But go on.
That was great work. You know, she's an inspiration to young people of color. You know, young women of color. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because she's just she's you know, she embodies so many qualities that, you know, are oftentimes, you know, not truly embraced in women. And I'm not even going to act like women don't have those qualities, but, you know, a lot of times in the public eye, you know, what's highlighted are more superficial qualities in women, unfortunately, you know, mm-hmm. despite the fact that they may, you know, be incredibly intelligent and incredibly, you know, profound and, you know, maybe doing so much more in their lives. Like, a lot of times, unfortunately, in our culture, we focus on superficial things. You know what I mean? But Michelle Obama, she's just like, you know, that perfect package of so much real, you know, she has so many real characteristic traits that, you know, resonate with, you know, people of all ages, cultures, creeds. You know, that's why her book is doing what it's doing, and she's just an inspiration of so many people, and people are clamoring to see her anytime she comes into their cities.
I'll tell you what. Oh, okay. And sorry, the initiative was called the Let's Move. That's what it was called.
Okay, yes.
Let's move. Yes. Yeah, right.
I remember that, yeah.
So, like, in light of what Trump has been doing, you know, predictably he's trying to cripple the U.S. one decision at a time. You know, he's made the defense secretary, James Mattis, resign from his post today. That has both Republicans and Democrats audibly gasping at the move. And he's continually trying to treat the Oval Office like the head of a TV network.
Hold on, sorry. Who did he make say that again?
Sorry, what's that?
You said he made somebody. He appointed somebody today.
No, no. I said that. I just said that he made the defense secretary resign from his post.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah, which is like completely major. He's continuing to treat the Oval Office like the head of a TV network. Like he's continually trying to angle, you know, the wall to be built up for ratings, I presume. And yes. You know, and aiding the stock market to plunge further and the government about to be shut down by the time we finish our drinks.
Yeah, I saw that. The countdown.
Right. So like seeing the Obama family again, it makes you miss them that much more, don't you think?
Goodness gracious, man. It's like class personified. Like it is like he took over. The incumbent was class personified. The whole family was something that, you know, Americans, North Americans alike could be proud to say that, yes, that's the family representing us. As opposed to now, it's humiliating. It's humiliating that this is what is representing, you know, North America, because that is not what North America is about,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. And I'm not insulting people that voted for him for whatever reasons they might have had, you know, that they might have, you know, be it bringing jobs back into the United States, you know, for, you know, people and families that have had, you know, live in a city where they had tough times and what have you. Like, when it comes to politics, politics are iffy. I judge, even though I think that, you know, Trump is an abomination, I can't. Anyway, I won't get into politics. But whatever. it is what it is. But the Obamas, man, it's like you look at them and there's, like, the. Simply put, they're truly class personified. Something, you know, a family and that I think that people of all colors and creeds could look up to and respect.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And that is something that's truly lacking in the Oval Office right now, I believe.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just amazing how the bar's been set where a president could marry a basically like a former escort. I mean, we can watch nude pics of Melania Trump right now, literally right now, if we wanted to. You know, it's all over the you know, the net, the World Wide Web, and it's like and the Obamas get disparaged by this guy. It's comical. You can't even take it on. You know what I mean? Like, you just have to just kind of laugh at it. But it's just the only part that you don't laugh at is that he's you know, at least until another 2 years, hopefully. You know, he still has a finger on the button. You know what I mean? That's like the only problem. But like, yeah, just watching her, you know, going back to Michelle, just watching her come back with this book and, you know, writing her memoirs, it kind of reinforced, as you were saying, like how beloved she is in the world, you know, and especially you can tell, especially at the rate that her books are selling, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man.
Yeah, like I think like people just relate to her because there's a, she's got a down to earth kind of vibe to her that most first ladies, honestly, is as regal as they may have been perceived to be. Like they've never had that, you know what I mean? And I think,
yeah.
Like I think, and then I think her tour for next year, I think that's gonna, she might sell out like a pop star. Like, honestly,
yeah, I know, man.
Like it's gonna be epic. Like honestly, like the love that she has right now. She can, like, I'm not even talking like a hotel convention or, you know, like she can fill out stadiums, like arenas at the very least, you know what I'm saying? Like with some of her, with her tour. Like, I think it could get to that level. Like, people are clamoring for it. Like, I can't, honestly, I can't imagine what Barack will do when if and when he decides to sell it or write his memoirs. But
yeah,
that's going to be ridiculous. And I think people are waiting for him to say something back about Trump. Like, people are clamoring for him. Like they're in a hip hop beef and they want him to say, like, seriously, people want Obama to say stuff so bad and he just won't take the bait. But like a part of you one day just wants him to just spaz out.
I like the stance he's taking. I don't want mudslinging at all.
I know. And I feel like that's what Trump kind of wants too.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, bro. Like, I think that what's happening now in the U.S., I find this to be very dangerous because, you know, like social media as a whole, we see that there are certain, it takes a trend that, you know, you don't necessarily like because, you know, when something happens, the outrage on social media, it's like it almost seems like it's automatic and it's contrived. Like, when something happens with whomever, and then, there's outcry on social media, you know? And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if there's any other leader of any other country that sits there and is as active on social media and says such inflammatory things on social media.
Nope.
Like I have a problem with that strategy for someone who runs a superpower. I don't think there's anything positive that comes from that. Agree or disagree with his politics. Even if Barack was sitting there and saying things I agreed with on, so I'd be like, Barack, why don't you chill on Twitter a little bit, man?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
that should be beneath you.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, man. I'm not like you just agreed. I'm not sad he's not taking the bait. It'd be tempting though. Mm-hmm. It'd be tempting to take the bait and to go into a war of words, but nah, I'm glad he's decided not to go that route.
Next up, we got the racial social media police. These brave men and women have used the video option on their smartphones, and with that power, they have visually documented the racial irresponsibility and ratchetness that many people have been flaunting in 2018. And because of their cinematic eye, they've allowed Black Twitter and social media to name the characters in their film, such as Barbecue Becky, Permit Patty, Subway Sally, and Target Teresa for starters. Even though we don't have their individual names, I feel like they should carry the weight that the NVP bears. How do you feel about this one?
Man, I would agree with that for MVP because that, it became such an epidemic and it really shone the light on the ridiculous type of behavior some of these people, man, in the United States. Even to the point where I'm a young Black man and, you know, of course, yourself as well. We've been through, you know, certain experiences of you know, where you can call, you can very, very clearly identify, like, this wouldn't happen if I was, you know, a white person.
Mm-hmm.
But even me, some of these things, I had to, like, drop my jaw. Like, are you serious? You're calling the police because the young Black dude is mowing the lawn?
Right.
And you're calling the police because they're using... That family's using the barbecue in the park, and then when the cops come, then all of a sudden you start crying and act like you were the victim. Like, part of me wonders and says, okay, in their mind, do they really think they're right? Like, or is it really that point where, look, I'm just that racist that I just don't want to see these people do anything. I don't want to see them thrive, so anything that I deem to be somewhat questionable, I'm going to call the police over? Mm-hmm. Or do they in their mind really truly believe that they are doing the right thing? I'm so confused by all of this, man.
Yeah.
Like, they called the police. You call the police. And is your expectation the police are going to react accordingly and come arrest them for barbecuing? Is that what you expect to happen because you think it's justified?
Like everybody's going to be put in a paddy wagon,
basically. Yeah, and the cop like, thank goodness for a citizen like you doing your civic duty, madam. Like, don't worry, I saw them with the tongs, with the barbecue tongs. My heart was racing. I don't understand. Like, I see that, and I don't get it, bro. I don't get it. Like, the things I've seen, like the one where the lady called the police on the young kid because she thought that he grabbed her butt in the
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And meanwhile, it was his knapsack that brushed against her butt while he was walking by. He probably didn't even feel the knapsack do that. You know what I mean? Like, it probably had no effect on him going out.
Of course. Even if he did grab her ass, you're calling the police. He's nine. Yeah. You'd be like, listen, lady, tell your son, you got to get your son to behave himself because he just grabbed me and that's very disrespectful. And then the mother would come and say, apologize to this lady.
Yeah, and pretty much that's the end of it.
Yeah, you're calling the police? Calvin, there's nothing a nine-year-old can do to me that I will call the police. Unless, well, I can't say that. If they were trying to kill me, I mean, if the nine-year-old had a weapon, like a gun, and I got to call the police because this kid might kill me. You know what I mean? Mm. But anything short of that, like, hey, that nine-year-old did anything, threw a rock at me. I'd be like, hey, who's your parent, man? And if anything, I have a problem with the parent if I tell the parent they didn't react accordingly.
Right, right.
You know? But I'm going to call the police on a child? Why am I doing that?
Yeah.
Am I that unhappy with life that I really want to call the police on a child?
And think of that kid. Like, you're walking out of the store, next thing you know, there's paddy wagons and there's squad cars all around. Like, the kid was bawling, thinking like he was going to jail or worse. You know what I mean? Yeah. He didn't even know what he did. You know?
So to your point, though, I think that like that entire phenomenon opened the eyes, of anybody who is honest enough to say that, man, I really didn't know America was that racist. And anybody that wants to really be honest with themselves and say that, yes, all of these events were uncalled for, and I guess this shows that black folk that complain about racism really aren't crazy and they aren't lying. Of course, I mean, you do have people that, you know, it is a cop-out sometimes. They act like anything's racist, and I'm not, of course, you know, that'll happen in any situation.
Right.
But people that, you know, when black Americans, black North Americans, period, complain about, you know, racism and as far as, you know, people, authority figures and police and whomever, and people sometimes act like, oh, that's just an excuse. This type of thing just shows it's not, that's the mentality toward black people. It's not an excuse. It's a systemic problem.
I'll share a personal story here. So just so people know that this happens in Canada too in some cases, but and it wasn't that severe because we had a neighbor. This is before, you know, I moved into the place I'm living in now. I was living in an apartment with my girlfriend at the time, was now, you know, the wife, fiance, what have you. Where we were living, we had a neighbor that was across the hall that is one of those neighbors that basically called security, like the condo apartment security, every time like somebody was playing loud music. And not like loud music at like 2 a.m. It could be like loud music on a summer day at 2:30 p.m.
Lord,
you know, you're getting somebody's one of those. But she would be the type, because we used to have like a little parquet in front of the apartment. Like if the kids outside were playing and it was they were playing too loud in the middle of the day, she was calling security on them.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, it was to that degree, and of course it bothered me because most of those kids out there were black, you know, they're Indian kids, you know, like it was a mixture of like a multicultural mix. Like I was disgusted by that, you know what I mean?
So the security would come and say, "Hey, kids, stop playing."
Well,
so loud?
They after a while they were just like, you know, were like they'll just be like they'll look at the situation and be like, and just continue walking, you know what I mean? But like. So you know, you see people like that. You see, like, I'm just showing this one example, but like you see that, you know what I mean? Like we've experienced that, and like first of all, God bless these mini Martin Scorsese's for putting this on social media. I love all of you, But I don't care how some people feel about, you know, these people losing their jobs because of the situation. You got to understand, you know, and you can relate to this, Sean, like the lives of many people of color have been altered or gravely affected because of this for hundreds of years. Definitely. You know what I'm saying? And in most cases, the false accusers have gotten away with this behavior.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I firmly, like, honestly, I firmly believe that you should be fined as much as somebody who does drinking and driving and more.
Well, yeah, and not only go with this behavior, like, well, they've gotten away with it, and the people that they've called the police on have been villainized.
Right.
You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, the cops come, and the person argues, and no, you're resisting arrest, and before you know it,
they're in jail,
is in jail, man.
They're in jail. They've been pepper sprayed, or they've been shot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it could get to that extent. So, like I said, to me, that's why I'm like, yo, I think they need to be fined as much as somebody who's drinking and driving. Like it should be like a like if you're gonna waste officers and police services time to that extent, like you know, like for example, like you know, to call the police on the little black girl for selling lemonade. I think it should be like a $10,000 fine. I bet you that those type of calls kind of go down after that. You're going to get a $10,000 hit for looking at the situation and being like, why did you call the police on this? Why did you call us for this? Like, you need to be fined for that.
Yeah.
And as a friend of mine pointed out in one of the chat groups I'm in, these, you know, barbecue Beckys and permanent patties, like, they use the threat of a phone call as a scare tactic, like a defense mechanism. Like, they try to weaponize that tactic on us, which is why being so calm and knowing your rights... For example, like that's what Kaepernick is doing is so important.
That is a great point.
You know, and the touch of what you're saying, like, what do you ultimately get out of this? Like the peppermint patty, for example, like if the cops came and the worst case scenario happened and they put this little girl in handcuffs, like that feels right to you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, what do you get sticking your nose in things that's none of your business? Like, what, like that does, like, what was the end game? Like, if she would have got arrested and got put in the back of a squad car, would that have made you feel good?
Because these are miserable people, man. These are miserable, rotten to the core people, man. And I don't know what's going on with their friggin' lives, but they're I don't know. I won't even try to diagnose them. But
they're scumbags. It's pretty simple. Yeah, they're scumbags. That's my diagnosis. They're scumbags.
Yeah. Trash.
You know?
Trash bags, man.
Straight trash. And on top of that, you know why they're straight trash? At this day and age, when you see this keep happening on social media, why aren't you smarter and just, like, once you catch yourself getting agitated by maybe something you don't like to see, maybe at that point, you know, everybody's got a smartphone. Everybody's got a phone on them. Everybody has the potential to be Martin Scorsese at any moment in time. You know what I mean? Man. You could be world star at any time, any ridiculous action that you do. So at some point, man, don't you get smart and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe this is not so important. Because, you know, what if you follow through on that action, you're going to be ending up on the news for the next 2 weeks. You might lose your job.
Yep.
You know, and I'm all for it. I'm all for that. I'm all for it. You know what I mean? I'm all for it. I don't feel sorry for these people at all. You know?
At all, bro.
At all. MVPs, without a doubt. Social media police. I love y'all. Last but not least, we got Cardi B.
Oh, Cardi. Yeah, man. I would sing one of her songs, but I got to admit, I don't know one of them. I can't even be a fraud.
She, along with Post Malone and Migos, has equally sold the most albums in music this year, with over 2 million albums sold for the Invasion of Privacy album. Between her music, her interviews, and her personality driving up her success, her album was the third most streamed album of 2018 on Apple Music and fourth most on Spotify. She was also Spotify's most streamed female artist of 2018. And according to, I believe I'm pronouncing this correctly, Carice Henry for Forbes magazine, and I'm actually quoting verbatim on this, I'm just going to read this part here. In addition to Invasion of Privacy being one of the top certified albums of the year, each of his tracks have been certified at least gold, with Ring, Drip, and Be Careful being platinum, Bartier Cardi being 2 times platinum, I Like It being 5 times platinum, and Bodak Yellow being an impressive 7 times platinum. The album joins 21 Pilots, Blurry Face, and Kendrick Lamar's Damn as one of the first 3 albums that achieved this feat within a digital era, making Cardi B the first female artist to do so. And she did all this while having a child with her newly separated husband, Offset, from the from the superstar group Migos. Sean, I know you wanted to show love to this woman, so I'll step aside and give you the space to do so.
I'll just crack my knuckles here. So, yeah. Listen, man. Am I a Cardi B fan? I'm not. Like I said, I couldn't even, other than Bodak Yellow, and even that hook escapes me at the moment. Like, I can't really sit there and quote any of her music. Gotta admit, never listened to her album back-to-back. Anything I've heard from her, I've heard it by accident. But with that said, man, one thing I haven't been able to ignore is the impact she had this year. She dethroned the queen, Nicki Minaj, who I'm not a fan of. I don't think she seems like a very good person, but anyway. She dethroned her, and she's taken the crown as the queen of hip-hop. But what I think makes her an MVP is that her star power has gone beyond hip-hop, you know? Mm-hmm. She has that personality. She's super marketable. She has a lot of character. Love her or hate her, because here's the thing, like, people might think that Cardi B is just a caricature, a ghetto. I think she's Puerto Rican and Trini, I think you said?
Yeah, Dominican and Trinidad.
You know, but the way she talks, when, you know, she seems more so Puerto Rican.
Right.
And it's like, you know, that, you know, she's just a caricature, and people love to be entertained by her, but she has so much personality. She's very witty. You know what I mean? And she has star power, man. She has staying power beyond music. And I think that, you know, you these late night shows, these daytime shows, she gets a lot of attention beyond music. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like she has, like I told you, she has just that gravitas, something about her. You know, it's entertaining, it's compelling. I'll watch a video of her expecting to not be entertained by it, and I used to begrudgingly be entertained by it. Like, son of a bitch, this girl's entertaining. Because, you know, I try to hold myself on a higher to a higher standard and think I'm beyond what people might find entertaining when it's, you know, social media, typical ghetto nonsense. But, man, she is a very talented young lady. She skyrocketed into the public eye, music-wise and entertainment-wise this year, man. And regardless of the fact that neither of us could recite 2 Cardi B bars, we can't be ignorant to the fact that despite the fact that we may not have really been checking for, that she has had a substantial impact on 2018, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the biggest thing with her is her realness. Like, as you said, you may not approve of her music, but, you know, you may not approve of her foul mouth or how she came up, but you have to appreciate that she doesn't hide it and she embraces all of her flaws to the point that it becomes more relatable and authentic. And, like, I think her personality is almost infectious, which is why she's on every TV show and almost everywhere you look.
Yeah, that is a great word, infectious. It definitely is.
Yeah, and I think it's funny. I think an underrated look for her was being on Bruno Mars' Finesse remix. Like, the remix and the video. Like, I think she showed that, on top of all the other things, that she can also be fun and playful, which, again, speaks to the relatability.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And I think all of that works in her favor. Like, again, I could not quote you a word off any of her songs, but, you know, and I think you had to, this was like a last minute addition, you had to fight me tooth and nail to put her on. But then after sitting doing, like, you know, a little bit of research, I'm like, you know what, I'm like, yeah, you know what, you're right. And thinking it over and, you know, thinking of all the clips I've seen of her this year and think of the finesse video and all that stuff. I'm like, yeah, okay, all right, you're right, Sean. You're right. You're freaking got me. You're right. You're
right. And actually, I misquoted. I misspoke. I remember the songs that she says, Cardi and Offset. So those are two words I can quote for you. I know those words are in some of her songs.
I mean, and then, you know, she went to the Met Gala and threw her shoe at her rival, I guess, or she's a rival now, Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
And honestly, it's like, and then we're kind of talking about that whole thing. Like, it's like, it's, you know, we were talking about it yesterday offline. It feels like Nicki Minaj, it's that same thing of, you know, you monopolize something for so long that when somebody comes in your corner, you don't embrace it. You just get threatened immediately. You know what I mean? Like, and it's yeah. Like, that's kind of like the, I mean, and I could be wrong. I don't know these people, but like, you know, judging from my vantage point, you know, in the basement of my house right now, where I'm sitting at this exact moment, but like, it just feels like, you know, like she's uncomfortable, which is weird because I'm like, to me, and I'd always find it funny when people move in that kind of energy because I've always been like, if you're a top dog and you show up on my corner as a top dog, I'm like, well, I'm so-and-so. So, you know, I'm congratulations, Sean, for getting here, but I'm here. And, you know, let's, you know, like, hey, I'm going to do my thing. You do your thing. Hey, maybe we might work together. Maybe we don't. But more great people in the game, you know, like and it's funny, forget music, but sports, anything. Anything in life, you know, iron sharpens iron. You know what I mean? Steel sharpens steel. So if you have a talent and you come along, yeah, I'm not going to be like, yo, I hate Sean. I might be a little uncomfortable because of the competition, but I'm like, ultimately, if you're nice, that's going to make me better because now I got to step up. Because if I don't step up, you might take everything that I got. So I got to make sure I'm at this point, you know what I mean? And we just keep going. But keep it in a positive manner and you keep it moving.
That's true. I tell you what, though, even if I did hate you and did think, oh, man, this person's taking my shine and I was jealous and whatever, I still couldn't make it as obvious as that. I couldn't make it as obvious as that to be sitting there and throwing dirt on your name and clearly jealous because I'd be cognizant of how that makes me look.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And considering that you've basically had the lone spot for so long, yeah, it just looks like, you know what I mean? It just, the jealousness obviously reeks out even more. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because where was his jealousy for all the other people that were trying to, you know, even though it was basically no competition, but like, where was all that jealousy before when somebody would have a good song? Some, you know, female like hip hop artist would have a good song. Like, where was that jealousy then? Like, yo, you know what I mean? Like, just, you know, so it's a little authentic that way. You know,
but
like I said, Nicki Minaj, I mean, like, sorry, not Nicki Minaj, but Cardi B, yeah, she deserves the MVP tagline for this year. Yeah, she's done a lot. Like I said, looking at the research, I'm like, yeah, I forgot some of the stuff that she's done or put out this year. Being the fourth streamed artist on Spotify and third on Apple Music, I mean, in this day and age, that is huge.
Crazy.
That is huge. You can't deny that. You just can't.
Yeah.
With that said, before we wrap up, I'm just going to shout out a couple of alternative MVPs, I guess, the ones, the honorable mentions, I should say, that couldn't quite make this list. Childish Gambino, you know, I don't, like, This Is America was awesome, but I don't think outside of that, you're expecting more from him this year, and it didn't quite happen, but This Is America had such a big impact, you got to give a head nod to him at least.
And because Atlanta season 2 was weird, man.
I didn't watch Atlanta. I didn't watch season 2 of Atlanta, which I got to kind of catch up on.
No, you don't. just wait till season 3. Don't even bother.
Sean's like, just keep it moving. Just step over it like a piece of cardboard. Just keep
it moving. Yeah, man. Better off forgotten.
Kendrick Lamar for the Black Panther soundtrack. He was basically the musical face of the Black Panther movie, basically, with his two songs. And then he was the first rapper to win a Pulitzer Prize for music.
That was crazy, actually. That's true.
Yeah. So you got to give him props for that. I mean, you know, but I wouldn't quite put him an MVP for 2018, being that the Dab album was in 2017, and, you know, we gave him the MVP nod for that. But you got to give him props for that for sure.
That's true.
Bobby Brown, strictly just because, you know, the BET movie revealed the fact that he was getting it on with Janet Jackson. I had no idea.
But that's not 2018. That was when 1989.
Oh, no, but the movie was in 2018. It kind of revealed some things to me, Sean. I was just very surprised by that. So I'm not giving him an MVP, but I'm giving him a head nod for getting it on with Janet Jackson back in the
80s. Yeah, that's true. I'll give him a little head nod for that, too.
Yeah, did not know that. And then Migos, you know, we didn't, we didn't get a chance to talk about them too much, but obviously they were a powerhouse this year as well.
Yeah, they definitely got to get that nod because they had a huge year, man.
Yeah, they really did. They really did. And also, I want to give you might laugh. Well, not laugh at this, but I want to give a shout out to Shaw Marshall for as honorable mention as well, because what sounded better than this, Sean? Oh, we don't have no behavior. Total disorder. Don't cross the border. Oh, wow. Bartender, can you put that in my daughter?
I wasn't expecting that one, bro. I gotta say,
hey,
that.
Man, I'm not gonna lie. There was a lot of dope soca tracks this year, but the Splinters track was fire. The 2 a.m. Project rhythm was fire. I want to give props to that. I'm sorry, man. I gotta give my props to that one. That song was fire.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be a little bit more personal thing. I don't know.
It is for me. That's okay. I don't care. I don't care how this comes off.
I don't know if I give that one the nod. But.
Yes, my Trinity roots are showing. I don't care. I don't care. And before we go, off the top of your head, who would be a potential nominee for MVP for 2019 in your opinion? I got one, but.
I think I know who you're gonna say, and I think I might agree with that. Before I steal your thunder, let me hear your idea first, and I'll tell you if I have the same one.
Well, I got two. One is somebody you already mentioned, which is Michelle Obama. I think that book tour and all that stuff is gonna I can't even say put her on a new level because, what higher level could you be than the first lady? But her name's going to ring bells throughout the year.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. And the other person is Buju.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wasn't expecting that? Yeah. I think, and don't get me wrong, I'm not glorifying what he did, obviously, but the love and support that he's gotten from everybody, the fact that he came out, like people had his release date on their calendars. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy to see the love and support he's received since he's been out of jail.
Yeah, it's true.
And he's coming out with his world tour in 2019. He's supposed to be coming out with new music, an album, and all that stuff. Listen, man. I mean, if his team can play this correctly, I think he might be one of the first reggae artists in years to like threaten that platinum selling, you know, type of shit, because I think he's just, maybe I won't go that far, but like, honestly, I think like he's definitely going to clear a couple million from his tour.
That's true.
Let's say that much.
That's true. The person I was going to give, and you and I talked about this briefly too. and I was actually convinced of it. Cause I was on the fence. 2018, I won't even say I'll give an honorable mention. I'll give a begrudging mention to Travis Scott.
Okay. Yes.
Give a begrudging mention. He had a huge year. Astroworld was huge.
He did. Mm-hmm.
And he was going swimmingly, and then disgraced it by accepting to do the Super Bowl halftime show like a friggin' sellout. So, I mean, all that said, though, that doesn't discount the fact that he had a huge music year. And like you and I kind of conversed about, I mean, him doing a Super Bowl show might propel him to that next level, despite the fact that, again, it's a cause I wish he would I wish he wouldn't be involved in that, but as far as the impact it might have, especially in this society, you know, where people might not necessarily punish him for doing that, I think that 2019 might even be a bigger year for him than 2018 was, very possibly.
Okay. Was that the one that's the person you thought I was going to mention?
That's what I thought you were going to mention, yeah.
Okay. And just to touch on one quick point, you know, I almost felt the same way you did about him accepting the Super Bowl nod. The one thing I will say is, because, again, of the social climate that we're in, I'm kind of wondering if he has something up his sleeve, you know, like some sort of, like, protest. So that's kind of where I'm seeing if he's going to do something during his performance where, you know, he's going to, you know, he's going to bring attention to something. You know what I mean? Like, to bring attention to some sort of social activism.
That would truly surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, he's not that kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's that kind of dude.
He doesn't seem to be that kind of guy. But again, I mean, who knows, right?
Like, look who his girl is. Like, come on.
Yeah, no doubt. But I mean, but let's see. You know what I mean? I don't.
Yeah.
And I mean, right now, you know, as of this podcast, you know, you're hearing people like Jay-Z and stuff trying to talk him out of it. And so let's see what happens. But,
yeah,
you know, like, if he uses the platform for something, you know, that's almost Kaepernickish, that actually can send him further into some sort of superstardom, of course. You know what I mean? So
that, honestly speaking, this, even strategically, even if somehow someone could pass him this message that you just said, strategically for his career, that would be a grand slam. Think about it. What's the worst that could happen? The Super Bowl would ban you, or the NFL would ban you for performing again? Who cares?
Yeah, he may get fined, but
yeah. Who is it that whatever network the Super Bowl is on, I don't even remember, what, they're going to ban you? Who cares? Like, yeah. It would send his career through the friggin' roof, though, if he did that.
Oh, absolutely.
And I agree with that, actually.
Absolutely.
I didn't even think about that, but that you're 100% right with that.
Yeah, so that's the only angle I'm seeing if he does something. I'll be watching for that. If he just performs a song, does Sicko Mode, and walks off the stage, and you're like, but you know, but if he, and I think part of it too is the fact of this boycott. I think part of the reason why too is the fact that the Super Bowl is in Atlanta. Atlanta right now is like the epicenter of black music at this point, for black pop culture at this point. So you're in the epicenter of where, like, the, you know, the biggest wave of music basically is coming from this region, and you get Maroon 5 to perform. Don't get me wrong, I like Maroon 5. I'm not even going front. I like Maroon 5, but not. I mean, you could have got any Atlanta artist to represent that Super Bowl performance. Not necessarily, bro.
I don't know if they were accepting that. Don't think they didn't try to reach out.
You think so? Because maybe they did, and they got rejected. But I think the fact, like, that, to me, that would have been the smart play. The smart play would be like, let me go get Outkast. Let me go get Jermaine Dupri. Let me get somebody.
Outkast was not performing.
No, but you know what I mean. Like let me get somebody from Atlanta who's really popping and take advantage of this. Let's get on their good. If they were smart, but of course, again, the cockiness, right? The cockiness of it all, like, these, it's just amazing. Like, it's something that I swear I've heard Jalen Rose say. It's like, people love using black music and hip hop music until it reaches their door, and then they get afraid of it. Because, like, the NBA All-Star does that too, where it's like the NBA All-Star weekend is like considered like the black Super Bowl, but then they'll get like Christopher Cross or like Michael Bolton to do the halftime performance show, and you're like, dude, do you not see who your demographic is? Like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
You know? So this was like a lost opportunity. They could have, again, stepped in and said, hey, man, get Future, get anybody to come and do the halftime show and just bring on all these Atlanta rappers, you know what I mean? And just make it a whole, you know, make it a Welcome to Atlanta reunion party almost. And they dropped the ball again. And that's why I think that's part of the reason why they're probably, between the Kaepernick stuff and that stuff, I think they're really struggling to get other artists to perform with them now, because they're like, yo, you're gonna come to this city and you're gonna ignore us? Like, they could have got, you're gonna ignore us?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So that's the way I see that whole thing playing out. So it's gonna be interesting to see. But the Travis Scott, yeah, I can't dispute. Like, 2019 could be huge for him, but I think if he decides to keep this this gig as performing in the Super Bowl alongside Maroon 5, and he does something that you'll never forget, you know, in the history of Super Bowl performances, in terms of a protest, I think it's gonna launch him into the stratosphere.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm not sure if he'll do that. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, without a doubt. On that note, brother, thank you for wrapping up 2018 with me, sir. My drink is done.
I'm done. Yes, sir. Mine was long gone. My glass is bone dry at this point. I polished that off a long time ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But seriously, thank you for coming on the pod and keeping up the annual tradition, man. It's
no doubt,
it's
bro.
Greatly appreciated. I enjoy doing these ones with you, man. Like, it's becoming tradition. It's like I try to keep it like the podcast version of the Skills Wrap Up.
Yeah, I look forward to it, man. Yeah, it's one of the holiday events, man.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and it's a good way to wrap up the year, and not just, like I said again, not just sports, not just pop culture, but it's like a nice mix. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
A nice mix of just, you know, talking about, you know, the people who deserve to get that shine. You know what I mean? So, but like I said, much appreciated, brother, and happy holidays and all that. Yeah, man. Thank you as always.
Definitely. Man. Same to you, bro. You and all the fam. Happy holidays, and let's toast to, with our empty glasses, to a great 2019, and let's hope that people give us a lot of content.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you all for tuning in to the Av Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. Special shout out goes out to Sean Adonis for joining me on the final episode of 2018. As always, it's greatly appreciated. I'd love to take this time and thank all of you for the continued support. I love you all for the support, man. It feels me, I'm telling you. I'm looking very forward for this upcoming year. I got some different projects coming down the pipeline, including one next month that I'm very excited about. Well, I should say February of 2019. I can't wait to share them all with you in due time, of course, but that due time is coming up fast. All right, so please, 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 please stay tuned for that, all right? And I can't let you leave this episode without letting you know to listen and subscribe to South Shore Ave Radio. Under the South Shore Ave name, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, as well as Spotify, and wherever else you listen to your podcasts. And to check out my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. For Sean Adonis, this is Cal C, and you've just tuned in to the Av Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. Continued success to all of you, and continue to have a great holidays. Have a happy new year. If you're drinking, drink responsibly and make your 2019 better than this past year. On to the next podcast, folks. Peace. We out.